We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
So you were playing tonight and some dude said you ruined the dynasty?
Oh my, dude. So I was, first of all, I'm playing on 2 feet that have plantar fasciitis now. And I sprained my ankle in the first game. I was terrible. This guy I'm guarding, I foul him. Apparently I kick him in the nuts. And then the guy gets
pissed.
Jesus,
you really are trying to be the new Draymond.
Dude, I didn't even notice. And the guy looks at me like, what the hell? And I'm like, what are you talking about? My bad, dude. And some other guy comes up. And he's like, yo, like, you just hit him in the nuts. I was like, oh, my bad. And he looks at me. He goes, man, you just killed his dynasty. And I'm like, oh my god. And I just started laughing. He said, congrats on the NBA 2K branding partnership that we did with Blue Wire in the middle of the game. Mind you, it was 51-51 with like 30 seconds left. We ended up losing, but yeah, that's day in the life. Although, you know, he was cool because he was like a Middle Eastern guy. I texted you after the game and I was like, you know what, that's my boy. No, he's just like Sam.
Did you get some did you at least take some threes?
Yeah, dude, I'm a chucker. I used to play middle post and like try to do all this like post up passing.
I know you well enough to know you're trying way too hard to like be bogut out there with the pinpoint passes.
Oh, dude, that was when I used to be good at basketball. That was it. I mean, I could score a little bit too. Like, I had a nice fadeaway. But, like, love playing defense, love passing. Now, man, all I do is kind of camp out, pick and pop. That's all I do. And just chuck them. And then I get pissed whenever anybody shoots a mid-range jumper on my team. It's very sad. I'm like you Houston Rockets, basically. It's rec ball, you know what I mean? Nobody's running a motion offense. You know, it's just pick and roll and chuck a three. That's it's pretty much how it goes.
What about the isolations? Was there enough isolations run?
Dude, I can't stand isolation. I'm like Steve Kerr when it comes to ISO. Can't do it. Hate it. I don't care how good you are. I hate it. You know who loves it?
Oh, are we transitioning into the pod? Welcome to the Light Years podcast.
We're getting good at this. Last week you did a really nice segue. This week I'm doing one, but you gave me a layup. Like, you gave me an assist there. Like, I can feel you trying to segue into
that was Kevin Durant. That was a true point guard assist. I didn't need the system. I'm not like Steph running off screens where you have to credit the gravity. I made the direct pass.
Pure point guard. You're not Russ. You're not hunting for it.
So yeah, let's talk about this. So I mean, it's kind of funny because remember when KD came to the Warriors and there were all these media interviews and everyone who's not a Warriors person was kind of like, well, they were all upset because what they were really upset about was that he left OKC and went to the Warriors. But now we're on the other side of it. And I don't know about you. I just don't feel any sort of way about it. Like, I'm not mad at all.
That's a great point. I think that was a point that people aren't really talking about. That's like when KD left OKC, it was ugly. It was ugly. And then now it's like, yeah, I mean, Warriors fans are pissed. I mean, Warriors fans like to blame me for it. But nobody's out here like the majority of Warriors fans are, I think, pretty like happy with the way like KD left the team and what with what KD did. Like, if you talk to your friends, I feel like it's the same way.
Yeah.
Talk to the majority of people. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to be like, everyone would like KD to be still on the team, particularly like healthy Pete KD. And we don't really know what he's going to look like off his Achilles. So everyone would like 2017 KD to be on the team for eternity. Right. But I feel like most fans kind of just assumed this was going to happen. And there's just kind of like an acceptance to it. And it's just kind of, well, that's who he is. That's what he wants to do. He's going to go to Brooklyn. We'll see how long this lasts. And, you know, it was cool. The 2016-17 Warriors are the greatest team of all time. Greatest singular season team of all time. And, like, end of the day, he's a big reason why. So there's no reason to be mad.
Yeah, he was a big reason why, because he wasn't the way he was now talking about the team, right? Talking all – and he may be right. But remember, he's right now saying, like, hey, like, the ISOs – I mean, sorry, the system has a limit. You know, the fans don't really appreciate me as much as I thought, stuff like that. That first season, none of – like, maybe some of it, but not really. Remember, he was kind of playing a pseudo, you know, secondary role, kind of
– It was just kind of the Kobe-MJ thing where it's – he played within the system and then –
He did.
And then he knew when to break it off.
That was a perfect marriage. Yeah. And then somewhere along the line.
He did that Uber commercial with LeBron, and, you know, he started looking at his mentions too much. And then got upset with it.
We're not joking, though. When we say this, I feel like we're not really joking, because part of, I think, his issue is he saw the praise that LeBron got despite losing. He saw the MVP that Russ got despite losing. He saw people that ranked James Harden ahead of Steph and him despite losing. And he was like, what the hell am I doing this for? Right? Don't you feel like he felt that way? Like that's how it came off.
Yeah. I mean, you know, my opinion has never changed on this. Him coming to the Warriors kind of always raised the bar that they were never going to get the rightful praise they deserved until they did something insane, like go 4 straight, win 5 in 6 years. They needed to do something like that to get the true praise that they deserved. And that's not right. Like, honestly, the 16-17 Warriors should have been praised more than they were. But, yes, you know, media is filled with, you know, whatever, flawed humans who felt guilty for LeBron. And then, you know, it's what it is. Like, one day I'll give you my true thoughts on everything about it, but today won't be that day.
Yeah, I think I love how one day on the podcast.
Well, one day when I throw it down, it's going to be there's going to be no comeback from it. So.
No, but I think that was a true issue. And I think that that's kind of a it's different from what Dirk Nowitzki said today in a post, where he essentially said, like, hey, guys care more about Instagram likes than they do about winning. I think KD is kind of is kind of emblematic of that. Going to Brooklyn, like, if he went to
Lakers,
but I mean, come on, let's be serious. Like, if he went to the Celtics with Kyrie, like, oh, I get it. Like, you got Tatum, you got Jaylen Brown, right?
I disagree. I think this is perfect for him because he
not the best situation to win.
I disagree. I think they're a good situation.
The net compared to the Celtics or the Lakers. If they had KD, LeBron, and AD, come on.
Okay, you're right. But I mean, the Lakers would have...
You're being hipster right now.
The Lakers would have opened the same, like, jumping with LeBron and AD, and, you know, LeBron would have got all the credit. So that would have opened opened the same issues he had with the Warriors. So let's put that one aside, right?
Kawhi recruited KD, right? If you wanted to win a championship, why not go to the Clippers? You got a good supporting cast. You got Kawhi. You got basically the top 2 out of 5 players in the league. You're instantly a favorite. Like, KD's like 10 times better than Paul George.
True.
So it's like, why didn't he go there? Because he wanted more fame. He wanted more likes. Although it's like Brooklyn. What the fuck are you doing in Brooklyn if you want more fame? But it's like he wanted to.
But I think that's part of it because it's it's a team. I mean, it's the same thing as going to the Clippers. You're going to a team where you don't have to match up to the past because you are the greatest thing that ever happened to that team already. So if you win there, I mean, it's weird because it's, you know, there's not a huge built-in fan base. Like, it's not the Knicks. We both know, like, 90% of New York's Knicks fans. It just is, right? They've been around a lot longer, et cetera, et cetera. But it's kind of building your own thing. So I kind of get that. Like, if he went to Boston, he'd be compared to the KG Celtics, Larry Bird, Bill Russell, 40 white guys who are in the Hall of Fame who I don't know if they're good or not. Like Bob Cousy. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get going to a team without that, like, it's corny, but like the startup thing, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's so KD. Do you realize what you just said?
Yeah.
It's so Kevin Durant. Okay, so what else in the article should we get into? Because he said a lot of things. Are there certain quotes you want to digest, or should we just talk about it broadly? Because,
well, there's one here that I think is interesting because I get where he's coming from on it, but I feel like this was misinterpreted the entire time.
Shocking. Shocking.
Yeah, because God forbid. Anyway, whatever. I came in here wanting to be part of a group, wanting to be part of a family, and definitely felt accepted. But I'll never be one of those guys. I didn't get drafted there. Steph Curry obviously drafted there. Iguodala won a Finals MVP. First championship. Klay Thompson drafted there. Draymond Green drafted there. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the guys kind of rehabilitated their careers there. So me? Shit, how are you going to rehabilitate me? What are you going to teach me? How can you alter anything in my basketball life? I got an MVP already. I got scoring titles. One, the latter part is hilarious to me because he definitely talked about wanting to learn to play a different style of basketball when he came to the Warriors. So the latter part I'm throwing out because that's just kind of a defiant thing, throwing it in. In my opinion, the important part is the first part. He just, like, I don't think he was ever fully comfortable with the with the way people talked about it. Like, he should have said, I don't give a fuck what you say, you know? I went to the best basketball situation, and we're the best basketball team of all time. And if you don't want to appreciate it, you're just being a hater.
Yeah. Correct. Correct. You know who would have done that? You know who does that? Steph Curry. Even LeBron James does that.
No. Like, no, he doesn't.
He does.
No, because everything's about him. Because anytime it's not centered around him, he throws a drama storm to get it. Like, that's where him and KD are a little different. KD just kind of keeps it to himself and gets a little, like, maybe it's more of like a passive-aggressive thing. But
he lets it affect him. Like, LeBron lets it affect him, but he kind of channels his selfishness or feelings about that in a way that kind of helps him out. Right, KD just kind of lets it stew, and all of a sudden he's gone. Right, and I mean, maybe at the end of the day it makes it happy, but no, you're right. So I mean, going back to being uncomfortable, I think what we talked about this a million times, Sam. But what did you expect? Did you expect to come to the Warriors, who already won a championship with a two-time MVP, and expect to be a more popular player than Steph Curry? What did you expect? What did you want? Because if that's what you wanted, then you're a fucking idiot. Right?
I think he thought. Here's what I think. I think.
I don't know why I'm swearing.
I think he bought into when the Warriors lost to the Cavs, the propaganda that the Warriors were helpless and didn't lose in the last minute of game 7 on tired legs with multiple players injured, including their best player. And he thought he'd be seen as the savior. When every Warrior fan I know felt they should have won. I don't know a single Warrior fan who thinks if Steph doesn't injure his knee, they don't win the title.
Right, right, right.
Whether it's true or not, it's irrelevant. That was every Warrior fan I know thinks We play them healthy. Bogut doesn't go down. Steph doesn't mess up his knee. It's over in six. Oh, and correct. I didn't even throw in Draymond suspension. I'll give him six. I don't really. It's not relevant. But point is, I don't know a single person who thought the Cavs were better. Every Warrior fan I know fluctuated between we threw that away and injuries got the best of us.
Cavs fans knew they weren't better. It's revisionist history.
It is.
Anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
And so every Warrior fan I know when they got KD was hyped because they knew with KD they had a chance to win like five in a row.
Yep.
Instead of like, I mean, if they'd have, they could have won one more title, but everything outside of the core was getting really old on that team, right? Like most, let's just run through it. Barbosa, Most Spates, Azealy, Bogut. None of those guys had a relevant moment after 2016. None of them, you know? For all the strength in numbers, there was no relevance in any of those players. So I think Warrior fans, it's not that they didn't embrace KD. It's that they didn't want a LeBron situation. They didn't want to like pretend Steph and Klay and Draymond and Iguodala were not championship worthy players. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in order for KD to have that type of adulation from his fans, there's a certain amount of, hey, Kevin Love's not really that good, or Kyrie's his son, or this type of stuff that comes with that level of praise where it's like, why would we need to do that for this Warriors team? Like, that doesn't make sense. Everybody's great. Like, that's kind of, remember when they were winning the 73 games, like all of it was, hey, like we're a team, we're blah, blah, blah. And they may not have been, they may have had times where it's gone really shitty, but like that was always the praise for that team. And you don't hear that about LeBron teams. You don't. Outside of like, I think that first
LeBron teams are a caricature of what people think MJ teams were. Honestly, like it's like a dude who didn't live through that era who just saw the highlights, who's like, I need my team to look like that. It's like Scottie Pippen was a great player. Dennis Rodman was excellent in his role. That was a stacked team. And MJ was far and away the best player on it and the head of the snake and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But it's like, I don't know, man. You can tell when someone's so narrative driven that they don't care about the team success. Like, I don't. Let me take this back. You remember when the Cavs won in 16? All we heard was LeBron feels his legacy is sealed. The minute I heard that, I'm like, I don't even know if I could put this guy in my top five all time, because all he's checking off in his mind is like an accomplishment. Like, he's significantly more talented than Kobe Bryant, but I would never see Kobe be like, I won my fourth title, I'm good. The dude was trying to win until like his leg fell off. You know what I mean? And that's kind of where it comes down to the love of the fame.
Wow, I was going to get a drink of water, and God damn it, that was perfect delivery. Well done. I mean, you're right. It's like a what's it called? It's a moving goalpost of things being said to compliment himself, LeBron.
And so, by the way, it's totally fine if his goal is more business than anything. Just that needs to be in the context of the discussion of the greater player, right?
Yeah, great businessman, but we're talking basketball, by the way, which is part of the issue with NBA media regardless, right? Half the time we're not even talking about basketball.
No, it's always got to pivot to any criticism is like, well, but look at all these foundations he started. I'm like, dude, they all make $500 million. Like, it's not like.
It's a good thing we don't need ESPN headlines on it all day long, you know, starting from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. So, which I think is a fair point. I think the other thing here, the issue with part of this stuff is, damn, we're swerving on a tangent, but I think some of the stuff I think with the player empowerment is that you can't, Bill Simmons said this on a podcast, is you can't criticize someone. You just have to let them do whatever they want to do. And I think his issue was like, hey, Devin Booker should be playing on Team USA. And
He's right.
He's right. Yeah. Why can't you say that? It's true. Devin Booker, you haven't done a damn thing. And you're not playing in a Team USA. You're getting coached by two of the best coaches in the world, Greg Popovich and Steve Kerr. And you have the ability to play for them. You're not playing like that's right. Like that's bullshit. You should be able to say that, and not have it be like, oh.
My whole thing is like, why does everyone assume bad faith when Bill Simmons makes a comment that like making fun of Devin Booker for not playing for Team USA? It's always got to be like some sort of greater point when like, no, the dude's like talked about hoops for 20 years in our consciousness. Can we just assume he's not attacking it from the most negative, cynical space?
Yeah. I mean, he's also 100% correct. Maybe Devin Booker will play some defense this year. All right. Before we move on, I know we're not trying to do 1 hour pods because me and Sam can talk for like 10 hours, unfortunately. Let's go do a couple ad reads. We got a new one, Sam. Indochino. I think it's still wedding season, so I think this is still
good. I actually have a couple Indochino suits and I love them.
Do you?
Yeah.
How do they fit? I do not. Perfect. How do they fit? Yes. Here we go. Every guy looks better and feels more confident when he puts on a suit. There's one problem. Guys keep buying generic off-the-rack suits. That's why Blue Wire is pumped to partner with Indochino for an amazing deal on a new suit. Indochino is the world's leading made-to-measure menswear company. They make suits and shirts to your exact measurements for an unparalleled fit and comfort. Looking to get married? Not me. They have tons of options for those looking to outfit their wedding party. It's so easy to get started. Visit a stylist at one of Indochino's 40 showrooms in North America and have them take your measurements personally or measure at home yourself. Shop online at Indochino.com. This week, Light Years podcast listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $369 at Indochino.com when entering Blue Wire at checkout. Shipping's free. And that's Indochino.com, promo code Blue Wire for any premium suit for just $369 and free shipping. This is an incredible deal for a premium made-to-measure suit. Once you go custom, you don't go back.
By the way, it's true. I didn't know what I was getting into with their suits, but the minute I did it, I'm like, oh, this fits me so much better than anything I bought off the rack. So I would recommend it, and I think you would actually love it, Andy. So
yeah, do they have like some pink suits for me that I can wear, like some yellow and pink ones, like some neon suits?
I have not gone there, but I mean, it's every fabric, and like literally just go get measured and then figure it out.
I love it. Yeah, I got a wedding to go to next year in Italy. What do you think about that?
Where in Italy?
I don't know yet. He just threw me the invite, but didn't have a location. He just said Italy next June, June 20th. I don't think the finals are. I think the finals are over by then, so I should be in the clear. You know, when the Warriors win.
But free agency, man. But free agency.
Oh, God. All right, let's do some questions before I do the other.
Actually, let's pivot into So we did the Southwest Division preview last week, Light Year style, of course.
Yeah.
This week we're going to go Northwest Division. I mean, divisions don't even exist anymore, but it's as good a way to divide up the West as any, right? So I'm going to start on the Jazz, okay?
Let's do it.
Jazz are projected to win 54.5, or the Vegas line is 54.5 games, which puts them tied with the Clippers in Houston. All three are at 54.5 as the best teams in the West. Are you buying the Jazz?
Let's go over who they added real quick, right? They already have Gobert, Donnie Mitchell, who should make a leap. And then you've got Bojan Bogdanovic, is that correct? And Mike Conley.
Yeah, they dropped Jay Crowder and Ricky Rubio for Conley. And Bogdanovic. I mean, those are two objective
massive.
Accurate. Yeah. Massive. They did get rid of Favors, who was, I mean, everyone could use a little Derek Favors on their team.
Yeah, Derek Favors is nice. I've always liked him. I think, are they not the epitome of a regular season team, Sam? Like, that is the absolute epiphany of a regular season team. And if everything breaks right, I mean, 55 wins makes sense to me. That's pretty high.
Yeah, I feel pretty confident in them hitting the over. Well, anytime you get to the top teams, betting the over is tough because like all it takes is 1 3-week injury and then, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to – let's talk playoffs on them because
yep.
you know, we're all predisposed to think you can't win in the playoffs without like a top five player, or you can't go deep in the playoffs. That's a better way to put it. But we've had teams, we've had like the 04 Pistons.
Yeah.
We had the 11 Dallas Mavericks. I mean, Dirk's an all-timer, but you can't tell me anyone thought Dirk was a top five player in 2011. He just played at a top five level when it mattered. Once every 10 years or so, we get one of these teams where you're like, they just don't have a weakness. But there's no like, there's no LeBron, there's no Steph, there's no like Harden.
Well,
but like they're just, there's also no weakness either, and they're a bunch of like B-list stars who are just really good.
Two issues, right? Rudy Gobert, who's a defensive player of the year, by the way, love of the fame, a love of the fame. Very easily. Dude's crying about all-star appearances. Get out of here.
Is he, we'll get to the Jazz love of the fame all-star at the end, but I think you already made your pick.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, we could do this pick where you could do a love of the game, or you could do a love of the fame player. You could pick one or the other. Sometimes it's hard to pick. It's hard to just go love of the fame, right? But no, I think Rudy Gobert, right, he a lot of people say he gets played off the court in the playoffs. That's kind of, it goes a little too far, but I don't think he's a top level player in the playoffs, so that's one issue, as good as he is in the regular season.
Let's break it down. His issue is he's elite at the rim, but if you space the floor so much that like your game isn't dependent on that. Like the perfect example is 2 years ago in the playoffs. Play the Thunder need to get to the rim, and he's a monster. And he messes up Russ's game, and Russ has like 1.5 good games in the whole series, right? But then they play the Rockets, who space you like insane, and it's like, I mean, Gobert tries really hard, but like end of the day, he's just not meant to cover space the way, you know, Draymond Green does.
But you know, the Rockets are a better team, so that's the issue, right?
Right.
Because like you could beat the Thunder all day if you want, but that makes you a second round team. You know, you're gonna have to beat the Rockets, and the Warriors are going to be there, and he's not going to be that much of an impact against the Warriors either. So I think that's the issue. And the other one to me is Donovan Mitchell, because if they want to win the championship, he better be Dwayne Wade or some facsimile of Dwayne Wade. He better be.
I'd settle for getting to like 90% of Dame Lillard.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm saying, would you agree with me? Donovan Mitchell of last year, the last 2 years, is still like significantly a tier below Damian Lillard.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, and like we don't even need to get into Prime Wade, who's just a much better player than both of them, right?
Yeah, Prime Wade was MVP, right? I don't think Donovan Mitchell is ever going to get there.
Sure, but I think your point stands. Like at this point, Donovan Mitchell shows flashes. He's a good player, the way around that, but like he doesn't finish at the rim well enough, and he's not a good enough shooter to make up for it. Like he's a B at everything right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I need him to take a step. I haven't really seen it in these FIBA games, but like in general, no one on Team USA, like it's no one on Team USA is doing that like 2010 KD or, you know, 2014 Harden Steph type thing where it's like, okay, this guy's just the best player in the tournament.
Pretty funny that Serbia lost though after they talked about how playing USA and they were favored, blah blah, and then they go ahead and lose to Argentina team that doesn't have a single NBA player. Comical.
We'll get to them next with Denver.
Okay, let's do next.
But yeah, let's so you're going with Gobert as your love of the fame player for the Jazz?
Yes.
I'm going to have to go. I'll give you that one. I don't really want to go Mitchell. I like the Jazz, but I need to see more for Don. Let's put it this way. If Donovan Mitchell takes a legitimate step, I think they're more of a contender than people give him credit for.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like the next team better, though.
Okay. The next team is projected to be fourth in the West at Vegas. The Denver Nuggets, 52 wins is their Vegas line. I kind of like them too to take a step because I think Jokic is.
Yes.
I don't know, man. a lot of my feelings around Jokic revolve around Steph and Dirk, where pretty much the consensus was, okay, that's a really good player, but you can't win with that type of player, like at a high level. But both those guys are just such special talents that you're like, you kind of have to throw out the conventional wisdom. That's kind of how I feel about Jokic. If you put the right team around him, his skill set is so unique and he's so good at it, you can win. Even if you make amends with the fact that you don't want a center who's that slow-footed.
Correct. He has some of that Gobert issue, right, where it's like, can he play defense, blah, blah. But I think his offense and him on that is just so good. It's like Steph Curry, where it's like, yeah, he might have some defensive issues too. Not saying that Jokic is as good as Steph on offense, but Jokic's offense is so good. He can shoot. He can post up. He can dominate on the boards. He can pass.
I mean, his passing is IQ in general. I mean, he's like a 7-foot Larry Bird.
And he's fat. You know, he looks like he chain smokes at halftime.
And I just don't know how you watch the playoffs and don't think he can perform at that level. The dude played 63 minutes in a playoff game.
Great.
And like, at no point did I think he, like, when they lost to Portland, he wasn't the reason they lost.
No. The issue here, though, Sam, is that they've got guys that are capped out in terms of potential. Gary Harris, I think, is kind of who he is. I think the rest of the guys.
Gary Harris, nice player, by the way.
Yeah, solid, right? Super solid, kind of mediocre two-wing guy. Maybe not mediocre, maybe slightly better than that.
Guy you feel really good if he's your third or fourth best player, but if you need him to be your second best player, like, we're not going too far.
Like a shitty Klay Thompson kind of thing, like a poor man's Klay, poor man's. And then I think that's just, they don't have much beyond that. I mean, Paul Millsap is who he is now at this point. They need Jamal Murray to be great.
Or Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah, good luck with that one. But they need Jamal Murray to make a Steph leap. Maybe not now, probably too early, but maybe in the next couple years. And I don't know, he might. I like Jamal Murray.
But I think I'm with you. He needs
Steph
to be,
leap. They're contenders.
If he takes a Steph leap, they're contenders. Yes, but like, what if he just gets to consistent All Star? What if he gets
90% of Dame Lillard again?
What if he gets a Kemba?
All Star.
Because you're not asking him to be the best player on the team, but like, you're asking him to be the guy who gets you buckets when things break down.
Yeah.
Kemba. First off, Kemba's been asked to be the best player on a very bad team for his whole career. Like, just do the mental exercise. How do the Denver Nuggets look if you put Kemba in Jamal Murray's place? You feel pretty good about that, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's fair.
But do you feel about enough to win the West? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the harder ask.
Well, we haven't gone. I mean, I'd still take the Rockets against these two teams, right? Like, I love the Nuggets and I like the Jazz, but I'm still taking the Rockets, who still have good today. Still got PJ Tucker, James Harden, Clint Capella's kind of whatever, Russ is whatever. But like, I'd still take that. Like, they have more talent. They have more of a better playoff system against these teams. So I'd still take the Rockets. So I guess I wouldn't be able to.
How do you feel about the Rockets if PJ Tucker takes a step back? I mean, he is 34. At some point, age is going to catch up to him. And I feel like, most people understand how important Draymond is, but like, PJ Tucker makes a lot of things happen for Houston that takes them from being a good team to being like a contender.
Yeah, he's poor man's Draymond.
Yeah.
I guess what you're trying to say.
How do they look if he's just a dude?
Yeah, I mean, that's, it could happen, although I thought that was going to happen last year because he was 33, 34. But yeah, they're screwed because here's the thing. He's got to not, at least Chris Paul tried to play a little defense. He was still good. He's just tiny. Russell Westbrook plays no defense. So PJ Tucker and Capella are guarding three people now.
And the bigger thing is, like, Chris Paul doesn't make mistakes on defense. He just eventually like succumbs to size issues, right? Russell Westbrook will absolutely gamble at everything. And, you know, there'll be games where he gets four steals and it's explosive. And there's games where he jumps at balls and leaves his teammates out to dry.
Comical.
And that's the difference there. Like, Chris Paul, on the other hand, will always be in the right position and hacking you. So
Classic Chris Paul. Who's our love of the? I'll let you. You should go.
Okay, for the Nuggets.
Yeah,
love of the fame Nuggets. Player.
It's a tough one. Love of the fame or love of the game? I think we gotta go either one now. It's your choice.
No, I gotta go love of the fame, and I might have to go with Michael Porter Jr.
I knew you were gonna go there.
Just because the mixtapes. I gotta see you play. I'm just tired of mixtape hype on guys. It's a little too much for me.
Yeah, I mean that's. By the way, you mentioned this. You mentioned this literally when the Warriors signed D'Lo or traded for D'Lo and got Willie Cauley-Stein. I remember you said that they finally got some IG hoopers. Finally got some, and guess what? All offseason, all I see is D'Lo hooping against some random pickup goons. I see Willie Cauley-Stein doing squats, right? I even see Steph Curry doing random workouts now on IG. The Warriors done changed. They done changed. I still haven't seen Clay. I still haven't seen Draymond. Fun times. All right, before we go on to the third one, let's do one more ad read. My bookie. So fantasy week one just ended, Sam. I'm 2-0 in fantasy, by the way. I don't know about you. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or keep walking? Of course you take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? That's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay you when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, bet with MyBookie. Did you know you can bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. And if all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. No matter how much you bet, the NFL season is the best time of the year. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code, as always, BlueWire to activate the offer. That's promo code BlueWire. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid.
Let's go, man. So we'll go through these last three teams real quick. Blazers are projected by Vegas to be 8th in the West. 46.5 wins. That's a lot for an 8 seed. The only thing so the Vegas odds basically have them, Spurs, Warriors, like, and then there's like a massive gap. So they're really banking on, you know, Portland making the playoffs, and then like that gap between like Dallas, Sacramento, the Pelicans. They think there's a significant gap there, which I could see. You never know. Like, injury is always going to die that out. But Portland, they went to the Western Conference Finals last year, and I think it was above the, like, they just got a favorable draw. They weren't a top four team.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, one of these years they're going to fall apart. And people thought they're going to fall apart last year, and they kind of kept it together. But
I don't know why they would fall apart. I just don't. There's nothing on their roster save like Anthony Simmons taking like a massive leap that no one expects, that like suggests to me that they had
Fernie Simmons. Jesus Christ.
I mean, or like Gary Trent Jr. I don't know. I'm like picking their youngest guys. Like, theoretically one of those guys could take a massive step. It's not likely. Right. But, I think they're just kind of capped out as like a 48 win, you know, like they're just kind of like that team who they're going to play hard.
They're worse.
They did get worse.
They worse. I'm looking at it right now. Aminu, Harkless, and Cantor are good players.
Aminu's good. I like. Yeah. Aminu is my favorite. I mean,
they're good.
Aminu's
Cantor's good.
I'd rather have Aminu, Harkless, and Cantor than Bazemore, Mario Hezonja, and Whiteside. I like Bazemore. I'm okay with Hezonja. Basically, I just don't want Whiteside.
Okay, first off, Hezonja's terrible. Bazemore is pretty below average, and Hassan Whiteside is like, all right, come on.
Well, also, Nurkic, like, Kemp Bazemore is more of a two. Like, Aminu's playing like a poor, like the PJ Tucker type role. Like, they're different players,
the,
right?
The Blazers had issues filling out and upgrading their wings for years, so they went out and got no wings. So it's like, I just don't know how they get better. Dame and CJ are who they are.
Well, no, they have Bazemore, they have Rodney Hood, they have CJ.
Come on, Sam, stop it.
All those guys would be 30-minute per game starters on the Warriors without Klay Thompson. Let's just
The Warriors have Steph Curry and Draymond Green and
D'Angelo Russell.
Yes, and they have Kevon Looney. So,
I'm just saying there. But my bigger point on the Blazers is we've seen this dance, right? Like Dame's great. CJ's really good, and you know, like Bazemore, Hood, these guys, like. There's going to be a game where Bazemore gets 25 points and wins a game for them, right? There's going to be a few games where, like, Rodney Hood hits some big shots. And then, like, you know, Dame's, like, they're just positioned to be, like, a team who wins, like, between 44 and 50 games. And yeah. In the right matchup might win a first-round series, but, like, is not really making noise.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's it's got to be tough rooting for a team like that, man. Can you imagine?
Yeah, because I feel like that's the worst part of it is because Dame will turn 30 at some point during the season in the playoffs, I think.
How do you always know the ages of these guys? It is truly impressive.
I'm good with numbers and dates. Anyway, at some point, it's got to be like, you know, it's not that CJ is a bad player. It's that, like, it's not good enough to be their number two player, you know?
No. Yeah. I mean, like,
I mean, it's questionable if Dame's good enough to be number one on a title contender. But, like, if it was, like, Dame.
I'll take.
No, but I'm saying if you had, like, Dame and, I don't know, Paul George, neither one of those are top five players, but they're, like, somewhere between, like, they're somewhere between 5 and 15 in the league. You're, like, you can see that, right? But the way the roster is situated, it's like it's kind of a team that will beat the Warriors in February, but at no point are you like, man, I don't know how we feel about them in the playoffs.
Which is what happened last year. By the way, Dame had a good quote where he just said, where they were asking him like how he got swept against the Warriors, and he was just like, dude, I mean, they're good. They go on these runs, they're good. What do you expect? And I think that was the respect that I think sometimes other players don't necessarily give just because they're jealous of losing a Steph Curry. All right, love of the fame. You know who mine is for this team.
Who's yours?
Said it before. Underrated love of the fame all-star, Damian Lillard.
Okay, I'm going with Hassan Whiteside. I like Dame and I could say Dame or CJ because they do a lot of social media stuff, but ultimately I don't know. I like the small school guys who like clearly make great careers for themselves, and like they're harmless to me. And then
nobody beats Hassan. You're right. God,
Hassan Whiteside, like he made me re-download Snapchat to watch how dumb he is. So I'm Ready or Not is maybe the funniest thing I've ever seen. You've seen this, right?
No, I haven't. What is this?
Okay. He put up a selfie instead of saying ready or not. It's ready R-A-R-E, oh not. My God. So I'm gonna send it to you right now. It's just I don't think it's fair to compare Dame and CJ to Hassan Whiteside.
The first thing you think about when you think of Hassan Whiteside was him being pissed about his player rating when he first got into the league and became a good player. So I think that's pretty much all you need to know about Hassan Whiteside. He started getting good,
and he started like saying, "I don't see anyone doing triple doubles with blocks." Like, dude, I don't like. You shouldn't be that proud of having zero assist games, you know?
Oh man,
he will have multiple. He'll have a couple games where he like gets 20 because he's super athletic. Oh, you got the picture?
Yeah, oh, my God. Yeah. Oh my
he's
God.
He's a special kid.
Oh my God, he's a special kid.
We're going to move this forward. Wolves. This is a team you and I disagree on.
Okay, we disagree on one player.
All right, so first off, Vegas has them 12th in the West at 35.5 wins. So Vegas doesn't think they're as good as the Kings, the Pelicans, or the Dallas Mavericks. Vegas thinks Karl-Anthony Towns is a love of the fame player. I mean, we know Wiggins is. No one's arguing that one.
No one is arguing Andrew Wiggins. That is the easiest one ever. Okay, here's my thing, okay? Karl-Anthony Towns is slated to be a number one player on his team right now. And some of the criticism that he got from fans, media, as well as Jimmy Butler, was that he should be that number one player. Carl Anthony Towns is not a number one player. I think
he's talented enough too. That's the problem. I don't know about that though.
He's a big man. He's absolutely
skilled enough to.
He's a big man.
Oh, so your big man is
not number one player.
Your take is essentially no big man can be a number one in the modern NBA.
Not many. Yeah, not many big men. I don't think Anthony Davis is a number one player. I don't think you can win a championship with Anthony Davis as your best player.
I think he wins as best player, but you can't win with him as your primary creator.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. And the Timberwolves have who as their primary creator, right? They have no one. And so I think that it's tough for him. And he may be a little soft, right? He may be a little soft. He may not be like – he's not very good on defense, might not try too hard. I just think he needs to be put in the right situation. Like, what's to say if Karl Anthony Towns ends up on the Spurs or the Warriors that he can't be that, you know, super talented and great number two option?
What's to say if I was born Jeff Bezos' son, I wouldn't be rich?
Okay. But, like, he can be a free agent. He's still, like, 24, sub 25, right? And I think – if he ends up in a good situation, and now that's up to him, right? Like, Carmelo decided that, hey, money comes first. I don't care where I am. I don't care who gets traded for me. I just want the money. Fine, more power to you. I'm never going to win anything. Karl Anthony Towns, he has the chance.
Name a player who could be bullied by Jimmy Butler that you believe in.
He's a little soft, okay? I admit. But you put Karl Anthony Towns on the Warriors. Like, that's a team.
Then the internet will go off with even more stereotypical conversations on how soft the Warriors are.
But the Warriors are a championship contending team. Like, let's say that's not even this year, right? Let's say maybe it's like 3 years from now, and you know Draymond's kind of washed up. Steph and Clay are still good, but they're, you know, Steph's not an MVP player anymore, and Clay's not a top level two-way player, and Karl Anthony Towns is kind of their guy now. Like, that's who they build the team around.
Well, you know,
like,
it's gonna I can be see them winning championship. Or Giannis.
I'm just saying that if it is Karl Anthony Towns as that player, I still think the Warriors can win a championship around him a few years from now. And I think that he's underrated because, I mean, you're right. He's a little soft. He doesn't play no defense. He hasn't really gotten better, right? But I just think he's in a shitty situation. And some kids like that who are in shitty situations, they're not mentally strong enough to be the leader. He's not really a leader. He needs to follow. To follow the best leader in the world, Steph Curry. That's all I'm trying to say. I make it all about okay. Steph.
I'll give you this. Talent's not an issue with him. I'm intrigued to see how he looks outside of the Wolves. So I'll give you that. But let's pull this on the Wolves. Did you know the Wolves were 12-10 with Robert Covington healthy?
Oh my goodness. Yes, I know. I did not know that, Sam. Where are you getting? Where are you going to? Where are you going? Where are you leading me?
So, I mean, you get it. You get why Robert Covington's a useful player. We're going to hear D'Angelo trade rumors all year. So let's address it for like a minute here. A popular one is for Robert Covington, who's just kind of the quintessential high impact role player. And then we know the Wolves wanted D'Angelo Russell, one, because he's friends with Towns, two, because he's really good and they could theoretically have got him if they could have cleared the cap space. Like, he was willing to sign with them, which is not always a thing for like a Minnesota Wolves type team, right? Is that a trade at any point you consider?
No. D'Lo for Covington? You better give me two Covingtons.
Okay, how much do you need to attach to Covington? Because, like, Covington, you can make the argument Covington would help the Warriors win more games than D'Lo.
Correct.
In the context of Clay being healthy, of course.
Right, correct. Yes. I think you're right. The issue with that is, though, you always – all things being watched, because I don't think – because you can make the argument that Covington's a better player, does not mean that Covington is for sure going to be a better player. The thing is – D'Angelo Russell has the upside of being such a star player in the league that I wouldn't trade that away for the steadiness of Covington, because Covington's who he is, man. Like, right, we agree on that.
Steadiness, a good word. It's a good word, bro. but no, well, you are right, though. Like, Covington will give you a safer baseline. You know exactly how he fits next to your guys.
Let me ask you this. If Covington was on the team last year in the finals, KD's out again, do they win the championship?
Probably not. If we're assuming Clay gets hurt. Now, if Clay's not hurt.
Right. No, assuming Clay's healthy.
I mean, I think like, they win. I think they have a good chance to win if Clay never goes down in game two. Because they don't go down 3-1. It's this simple in my mind. They don't go down 3-1 if Clay doesn't get hurt. But he did. You know, we can get beyond that.
Let's not rehash that. Let's move on. My bad. That's my bad.
Yeah. All right. We're gonna go to the last one. Oh, actually, we need to pick a Love of the Fame All Star on the Wolves. It's gonna be easy to go with Wiggins, but I'm gonna go with Towns. I think the guy just got tougher. It's like really that simple. So he's gonna be my Love of the Fame guy until he erases the Jimmy Butler bullied him thing from my memory.
All right, fair enough. I made my cap points. Wow, this division is really, God, it's got so much material because we've talked about four teams, and we haven't even got to the Thunder yet. Our guy Chris Paul.
Do you remember in 2016-17 when people tried to tell us how great Westbrook was? Like, was there anything more dishonest than the media making that a massive story when no one cared? I'm telling you the truth. Thunder games didn't rate that year. Like, TV ratings did not suggest that people cared about that. They weren't in the title race. They were a 6-7 seed the whole year. It wasn't really a story. It was just the creation of, like, white guilt media is really what it comes down to.
We are now 50 minutes into the podcast, and finally the content I've been waiting for.
Anyway. Moving beyond that, you know, they traded Harden. They never traded Russ. KD left. Russ won a bunch of triple doubles. And now they have to reset.
He won a bunch of triple doubles. God, that's perfect.
That's your line, by the way, from a year ago on this pod.
Oh, really?
The real light years listeners will remember that one.
I feel like we never remember the stuff we say. There's always gold.
I just like I black out and then like I listen back. I'm like, I said that.
Yeah. That's pretty good. We did pretty well for ourselves. I mean, there's not much to say about the Thunder. Do you feel bad for them?
No, I mean, they had a good run. I think they're smart, so I think they will rebuild. Really, like I don't think they're gonna hit a 10-year abyss. I think within 2 years they'll have an interesting young player, whether it like translates to wins or not, that's gonna like get the fan base interested. So all you can really ask for is like start the new cycle, right? And then they have all those picks, so they'll be an interesting team.
Yeah.
I would feel bad for them if they were like run by Mark Davis, like the Raiders, and they lost their best player, and you're like, oh, there's nothing there that suggests that they're going to rebound from this in the next decade, right? Then you feel bad. Like if they were run by Dolan, you'd be like, I feel bad for them, right?
Yeah. No, that's true. You know who I'm going to go with, Sam? Who's the Love of the Fame All-Star on this team?
Who that?
It's the entire Oklahoma City Thunder fan base. Love of the Fame. You guys can have it. You guys can all have it.
Let me ask you this. Do you think Chris Paul gets traded?
Yeah.
That's a massive contract. Like, well, they're not going to – here's the thing. They're not going to buy him out. Andre Iguodala will eventually get bought out because he's a free agent next summer. And at some point, the team's like, we'll just cut you out of your contract.
Chris Paul
has 3 extra years. Chris Paul is owed $120 million, 40 a year. I wouldn't cut that. No one's just like, here, we're just giving you $120 million to not play a game. So for him to leave them, there needs to be a trade partner.
You can imagine like
Anthony Davis.
Oh my God. You can't imagine like some really like mediocre Eastern Conference team that like is trying to squeeze into a 40 win and like a 7 seed trade for Chris Paul.
Scary Terry and Michael Kidd Gilchrist for Chris Paul.
I mean, like,
that's so on brand for the Hornets. Yeah.
Yeah, you see that? Like the Miami Heat is a popular one, or like I can see one of these like really like, I mean, the East is so bad. Like one of them that just says, you know what, screw it. We want to get the revenue of, you know, a first round series. We want to get walloped by Giannis for 5 games. Let's just go for it.
Like, Milwaukee's actually not a bad potential trade partner.
Ooh.
Because they could give, they could do like Bledsoe plus something.
You know what that means if they make that trade, though?
I mean, you know what Giannis that means? Giannis is gone in a year.
Yep. Yep. They're scared. That means they're scared if they make that trade.
Well, also,
or if
they're also just getting a point guard upgrade.
Well,
but yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be really happy if the Bucks went for it all, because they're not. Well, they might win with Chris Paul, actually, now that I think about it. The East is not so great.
They certainly have a very good, clear path to the final. Oh, no, what am I saying? He's going to find a way to mess it up versus the versus the Sixers. Like, Chris Paul versus Simmons in the Eastern Conference Finals is like, it's like a matchup of two people who you don't think can win. So one of them has to.
Gentlemen and ladies, with that, Light Years podcast, we got to get out of here, dude. That was good stuff. Subscribe if you've made it this far. Light Years podcast, 5-star ratings. Check out Blue Wire, rest of the podcast. KJ's always doing great work.
We probably should have thrown it out a little earlier that there'll be some 2K stuff soon.
Ooh. Ooh. Well, yes.
We'll talk about it next week.